Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. And we're joined by our colleague Brandon Weikert, author most recently of Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower. Brandon has also penned a piece that appeared in the New English Review about China's activities in the United States, representing itself as a researcher, as a scientist, as a medical knowledgeable person in labs. And yet, Brandon, a very good evening to you. It used to be called in the 20th century industrial espionage.
Yes.
That is no longer the hot term. It's intellectual property theft. However, it happens everywhere routinely in electronics. Does it also happen in experimental medical labs, researchers in America? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and hello, Gordon. And yes, to answer your question succinctly, this happens in every area of high technology development. In fact, the People's Republic of China, under Xi Jinping's rule, identified about 2 years ago, biotechnology is one of the areas that the country of China must dominate in order to stay competitive with the United States and eventually leapfrog us by 2049, the 100th year anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party's victory over Chiang Kai-shek in the Chinese Civil War. And so China absolutely is doing whatever it takes to get dominant in this very important area of biotech. And we see this play out in their, you know, rather rampant industrial or IP theft of our biotech.
What does it look like, Brandon? How is it done? With what personnel?
Well, so China has a large and growing R&D, high-tech R&D base, and so they're very attractive to Western capital and to partnership from Western laboratories. And so something that they've been doing in China is offering either their institutions, opening them up to our research and fundings, or they send their highly skilled workers, their scientists, over to American, Canadian, and other Western labs to do these joint research projects. What tends to happen is that we have in the West these wonderful data sets to use for all kinds of different medical treatment and R&D, and the Chinese very often want to get their hands on that proprietary data set, so they send a handful of their scientists or spies posing as scientists. They gain access to National Institutes of Health or National Science Foundation research. They pretend like they're working with us as a partner, but in fact, they're sending all of that proprietary data over to their labs in China, which then create or are trying to create a rival cure or whatever the research is, and so that China will beat the Americans in, you know, cancer research or in some kind of new vaccine. And we saw this play out recently with the MD Anderson cancer case, where MD Anderson at University of Texas was receiving about $148 million of taxpayer funding from the NIH to conduct very revolutionary cancer treatment R&D, and a group of Chinese scientists were invited by the NIH to take part in the study, and it turned out they were affiliated with the People's Liberation Army and were actually sending all of that proprietary research back to a lab in China that was trying to create a rival treatment to go against the American-led cancer treatment. So that's one example of sort of the damage economically and to our innovation that China can do.
Gordon, over the years, you and I have talked about Chinese theft in the electronic sphere, and the FBI has announced many arrests. I don't follow them carefully anymore, of either Chinese nationals or others in America transferring data about electronics. Does the FBI also talk about what Brandon's talking about, biology and labs that are dealing with medical science?
Yes, it does, John, but unfortunately, it's not devoting the resources that are necessary to stop this. And I think part of it is because in order to stop this, the cure really would be to make sure that there are no technical cooperation arrangements like the type that Brandon just described.
So what we have here is the beginning of a story that turns from stealing the latest chip manufacturing or the innovation at Apple into the labs of Northern America and Canada. You have a question for Brandon, Gordon.
Brandon, I take it that members of the scientific community actually have the hard time believing that their colleagues, Chinese or not, can be involved in theft or evil activities. Is that the way that our American researchers view it? Because yeah. Otherwise, it seemed to me that this is incomprehensible why we would continue these technical cooperation arrangements between the United States and China.
Yes. Well, there's a few different factors at play. One of them is this unwillingness to believe. You have to understand the academic community really thinks that cooperation is better than competition and that, you know, a rising tide will lift all boats. It's a very idealistic, utopian view of the world, which you would expect from people who are in the ivory tower. Then there's also the pharmaceutical executive side, which wants to make money. And so it's often cheaper and easier because of lower ethical standards for companies, Western pharmaceutical or biotech companies, to fund research and development in China, where the ethical standards for R&D are lower than they are in the West. And then there's also the issue that, you know, we don't believe the Chinese could really do anything to hurt us because we just assume that our technological innovation is always so much farther ahead. And those are sorts of the ideas for why Western scientists don't have a problem with sharing information with the Chinese, not realizing that they could be funding, their competitors. And we see this, by the way, play out in other industries. John mentioned the computer chips. But also 30 years ago, we saw this with manufacturing firms who went over to China from the Midwest. And then suddenly they opened these factories with advanced, manufacturing capabilities. And the Chinese came in and literally took over and nationalized those factories and made them Chinese. Or they copied the manufacturing practices of Western firms and created rivals overnight. Something similar going on with these biotech R&D programs. And by the way, in China, all these labs are usually at least managed by the Chinese military. So who knows what that could be?
You remind me, Brandon, of a story I've learned recently about Stalin's decision to send young men who had been in the Red Army to MIT to learn aeronautical science. This is the early 1930s. They became very good students and they supported each other. But they were long-range spies and eventually, they were involved in all aspects of the aeronautical business in the United States so that they took it all home and they built fighter aircraft and bomber aircraft in the Soviets. This looks like the same model. Does that describe what you're saying?
I think that's an excellent comparison. In the article at New English Review from last year, I compared some of these scientists to what the Rosenbergs were doing. Remember, the Rosenbergs had a very idealistic view of we have to share nuclear technology with the Soviets to kind of balance whatever the Americans might do with a monopoly on the weapon in 1949. I think your comparison is much better, and I think that we have to look at this from a kind of a longer-term strategic view, which is we could literally be giving our rivals in China the technology they need to create new industries that will attract more investment and talent away from the United States and Europe and Canada and into China, which will only elevate China's geoeconomic threat and their overall competitive advantage in the long race there or the marathon that they're running with the United States. So this has sort of longer term implications, but I think your comparison to the Soviet aeronautical engineers is 100% correct. This is how China is going to keep up with the U.S. and the West in biotech.
Brandon Weikert is author of The Weikert Report and author most recently of Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Kate Stone, Newsweek in the Hill. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.